the time. If that's what it's all about, mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
Are you thinking about, or have you ever thought about, moving out of Wisconsin? Maybe you've left already but are still listening to Wisconsin Public Radio from a neighboring state or online. What made you leave, or why are you considering it? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, February 25th. Is it the cold winters, political divisiveness, the economy? On the other hand, what are your reasons for staying put if that's what you plan to do? Or maybe you even recently moved here. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. An annual unscientific survey conducted by a moving company ranks Wisconsin in the top 10, we're number 10, among states without migration. People leaving. Why is Wisconsin in the top 10 states with residents moving elsewhere? What would it take for the state to be on the list of states with the most people moving to it? Our guest is Mike Ivey, reporter for the Capital Times. He covers business, the environment, and politics. His recent piece, Why Are People Leaving Wisconsin, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So first, tell us about the survey. You note in your piece that this is not scientific. Who's being counted here?
Yeah, it's done by United Van Lines, the big moving company, and they've been doing this survey for over 30 years. And they basically count people that are doing business with their company and then track what state are they going to or what state are they moving out of. And they tracked about 125 moves in the U.S. last year, and I think for the company it's a good marketing piece to put out every year. But for people like myself and reporters and people who like to follow these things, it makes for a good story, and certainly struck a chord with a lot of readers at the Capital Times. It's been for 2 weeks in a row now. It's been one of our best viewed and commented stories, so people certainly have strong feelings about it.
Yeah, that's right. When we posted this on our Facebook page, too, same thing, just dozens of people commenting on why they are leaving or considering leaving or why they're staying put. But United Van Lines found that 2,400 moves that it did for people living in Wisconsin, about 55% were considered outbound. Why do we know why those people were moving out?
Well, not really. I mean, I got a lot of comments from people that in putting the story together, and the different factors were, weather and the economy. I think you mentioned some of them earlier. This isn't a new thing. I mean, Midwestern states, Great Lakes states, have been losing people for a long time. It's not a new trend. Wisconsin's been on this list in the past. We just happened to pop back into the top 10 this last year. And I think with all the political stuff that's been going on, people were, jumping, seeing that as a chance to jump on the Republican takeover of state government and use that as a reason. But, we were on the list in 2007 when Jim Doyle was governor. We've been on the list for a while. Look at some of the other states on here. I mean, Illinois is number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, number 6. And then you've got a lot of the eastern states, New Jersey, West Virginia, New York's 4, Connecticut, Maine, Kentucky. I mean, that's what's happening in the U.S. People are migrating to warmer places. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, you mentioned, because it is an unscientific survey, we've got to have that caveat, but it does give us an interesting look at migration trends, and that primarily seems to be it, that for the most part, generally, we're leaving cold states for warm states?
Yeah, I went into the scientific survey here, actually looking at U.S. Census numbers, because the Census tracks this stuff every year, and Wisconsin lost 51,000 people out migrate last year. So that, in a state of over 5 million, that's not a huge number of people, but here's where the people are going. Number one destination, Florida. Number two, Arizona. Number three, Texas. So, interestingly, we did lose over 7,700 residents to Minnesota. So, you know, maybe people are going there because their economy's been a little stronger than Wisconsin's. We did have people move into the state, and this won't be a surprise, but 40,000 residents from Illinois moved into Wisconsin last year.
Hmm.
That was the main in-migration place. And our state population continues to grow. You know, people are... We're having babies, Joy. So we are still growing in that sense. But in terms of people moving, yeah, more people are moving out than moving in.
Well, I'll have to actually present the having babies thing to our guest after 8 o'clock. He's going to be saying that at least the country as a whole has a declining fertility rate, and we're in big trouble because of that.
Oh. But well, you know, Wisconsin's, we're down in terms of House delegates. We're down from 11 to 8 over the past 100 years. Wisconsin, our population's gone from being about 2.5% of the country to less than 2% now. And we used to be the, when I moved here back in the, well, I'll date myself now, but back in the 1960s, we were 18th in the population, and now we're down to 20th. So,
when you look at the various surveys, whether they're unscientific or scientific, can we see if, for example, people are fleeing cities like Milwaukee or coming to cities like Madison?
Well, we've had the city of Milwaukee's been losing population for a long time. That's been a kind of a flight to the suburbs because they've been gaining population there. City of Madison has been growing, the city itself. If you on our on my story, I linked into a story that was done by a guy for the College of Ag for the Ag Department in Wisconsin, and he was tracking sort of the moves within the rural areas, and rural areas have been losing population, but some rural counties have been gaining population, sort of with people that like the rural lifestyle for that, I mean, not necessarily farming, but, you know, lower cost, sort of downsizing people. So that's been a trend in Wisconsin a little bit. But, you know, for the story, I, you know, the way the newspaper business works today, I go out and use Facebook and some of the other social media to elicit comments, and I got a real wide variety of comments. And like, here was a woman who had moved from Madison to the Bay Area, and she said, I just couldn't find a job in my field, communications manager. The major cities weren't hiring, and California wanted me.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Michael Rothbard who was kind of active in the local Madison government scene. His wife finished at the university, couldn't find a job here, and they moved out to upstate New York, and she's working out there. So everybody's got their own reasons for coming or going, but I think, you know, the weather and the economy have been probably the main thing for most people.
Well, we will see if our listeners want to share with us their reasons for coming or going to Wisconsin. And I'll tell you the weather, too. Very foggy this morning, otherwise cloudy with patchy freezing drizzle. A chance of snow this afternoon. Highs will be in the mid to upper 30s today. Cloudy tonight with a chance of light snow and freezing drizzle statewide. Lows mainly in the 20s. There is a winter storm watch in effect for southeast Wisconsin for tomorrow and Wednesday. We could see snow accumulations as much as 4 to 7 inches from the southeastern half of the state tomorrow into Wednesday. If you'd like to join us as we talk about why people are leaving Wisconsin with Mike Ivey, a reporter for the Capital Times, call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to all of you who contributed during our winter membership drive, which ended on Saturday. More than 5,700 listeners pledged, and we're pleased to welcome 1,200 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. You donated more than $680,000 to Wisconsin Public Radio and helped pay for the programs you depend on. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, February 25th. Are you thinking or have you ever thought about moving out of Wisconsin? Why? Is it the cold winters, politics, something else? Where would you or did you go? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Mike Ivey, who's a reporter for the Capital Times. He covers business, the environment, and politics. He wrote a piece on a survey that was done by a moving company that says Wisconsin is ranked 10th in the nation for people moving out. So we decided we would find out if you've ever considered that, or maybe you're planning on staying put. We'd welcome your reasons for that as well. Let's take some calls, and April in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, April.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Are you leaving or not leaving?
I am leaving.
How come?
Well, I'm going into a PhD program for economics, and unfortunately, Wisconsin only has two schools that have that program, so I have to go out and find the program that's right for me, and unfortunately it's not in Wisconsin.
Oh, all right. So do you know where you're going?
Yep, I'm going to Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, well, are you sad about that?
A little bit. I really wanted to stay in Wisconsin, but unfortunately there's not really a middle-ranked program in Wisconsin. You kind of either have Madison or Milwaukee for research universities, and that's it.
April, this is Mike Ivey. You mentioned that you're studying economics. How do you feel about young people coming out of college here and their prospects for making a career and finding a job?
Well, it's really interesting. A lot of my friends have either left and found jobs in other states, or they've found jobs unrelated to what they studied in school in Wisconsin.
Well, good luck to you, April. Sorry that we're going to lose you. Maybe you'll come back?
I would love to come back.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
What is it that you like about Wisconsin?
Well, I'm from Milwaukee originally. I lived in Eau Claire. I went to school in Eau Claire. So I've seen a big city and I've seen a smaller city. And I just think that the culture is fantastic. And I'm pretty avid into cycling. I think that we have a beautiful state. And I'm a big fan of riding around, kind of going between Madison and Milwaukee, seeing what's happening in the art and music scene. So I very much love Wisconsin, and I would love to come back for family and all the activities that we have here.
April, we need to put you on the poster for all the great things about Wisconsin. I'm a big bicyclist, too, and I always thought we should be really promoting that as one of the best things going in Wisconsin. We've got Trek Bicycle Company here, Pacific Cycle in Madison, Planet Bike, these companies that make all this bike equipment. I would put it right on the open for business signs. I'd put bicycling right up there.
Yeah, April, thank you so much. Me three, by the way. So thanks very much, April, for the call, and good luck to you. Hope that you can still listen to Wisconsin Public Radio online and that you someday come back. Jason writes on Facebook, I love Wisconsin and our history. Ideas like the Wisconsin Idea and clean Milwaukee government made our state a model for good governance. However, the current political situation is sickening. This hamburger helper politics is killing our great state. You heard a lot of comments like that from your article.
Oh, we sure did. You can imagine at the Capital Times, and it sparked an incredible debate, really, that people were saying, can you blame Scott Walker and the Republicans for people moving out? Frankly, I had a lot of comments to that effect. I mean, fairness, I mean, the migration's been going on for a while, you know, I've been around a long time. I've followed politics here, and I've never seen things as divisive and kind of mean-spirited, I think, is maybe a good way to put it. Wisconsin always was a nice place. I think it really had that reputation. We always said clean environment, clean government. Those were the two things you really thought of when you thought of Wisconsin, and I think a lot of people are questioning whether that's still the case today.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Diane in Abbotsford. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm actually back in Wisconsin after having been in Minnesota for 2 years, and I've lived in several other states, and Wisconsin is still the best place for me.
Why? Well, what did you find here in Wisconsin?
Well, I have a good job here for one thing, and just people are friendly, and I think not putting anybody else down, but it's the friendliest state I've lived in, and I'm, like I said, I've lived in several other states, and it's just the people are worth it.
Wisconsin nice is better than Minnesota nice, Diane?
Yes.
Well, I guess I'm curious. I don't mean to pry too much, but why were you in Minnesota for a couple of years?
For my husband's job.
Oh, I see. But and you're happy to be back?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, there we go. And do we know what people love about Wisconsin, Mike?
Well, I think you hit on a couple of things right there. We've had a reputation for being a friendly place. And we've had we've really had a pretty strong economy when you really look at it historically. Wisconsin's had a diverse economy with manufacturing and agriculture, a mix of small towns and big cities, and I think that attracted a lot of people. But I mean, when you look at some of the numbers, we've gone from 24th in the country in per capita income in the early 1980s to 28th now, and that's a fairly significant drop. We've lost a lot of those industries that made Wisconsin strong. The paper industry has taken a real hit. Look at some of the big manufacturing companies that have either downsized or moved out of Milwaukee. The auto manufacturing that used to happen in Kenosha and Janesville is gone. So I mean, we're facing some headwinds, no doubt about it.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Ivey. He's a reporter for the Capital Times. He wrote a recent piece, Why Are People Leaving Wisconsin?, which was based on a survey by a moving company that ranked Wisconsin number 10 in the nation for people moving out migration. And we're wondering whether you are thinking about moving out of Wisconsin. Where would you go? Or are you planning on staying in the state? What do you think should be done or could be done to improve life in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next caller is Craig in Caledonia. Hi, Craig.
Hi. I think you two failed to see the main reason that people are leaving Wisconsin. Just look at the three states that your guest mentioned where people are going, Florida, Texas, Arizona. These states have no taxes, hardly. And it's the high tax rates in Wisconsin that are driving people away, and also your manufacturers are going to states where they're treating businesses better. Now, this is finally starting to come around with Governor Walker a little bit, but this has been the driving force of people leaving Wisconsin, as far as I'm concerned.
That was one of the things that was mentioned. A couple of the comments I had on, especially for retirees, because if you are living on a fixed income, not having to pay some income tax can certainly be one of the factors. But I don't think that's the main thing that's maybe driving business out of Wisconsin. If you look at most business surveys and find out why companies located in one place or another, it generally has to do with the market they have, the quality of the workforce, how close they are to their suppliers. Those tend to be the main things. It's difficult for businesses to pick up and go and move their entire company. You'd like to think maybe that's an attractive thing. It'd be interesting to see how the tax climate and the tax cuts that Walker has put into place play out in the long run. So far, it hasn't really been a great driver of jobs here. Look at the fight between Wisconsin and Minnesota over the business tax cut. So as a business reporter, that's something I'm interested in following over the next couple of years. But I think your caller hits on a real point with seniors and retirees in terms of going to those warmer weather states, but I wouldn't attribute it all to taxes.
Jane sent an email. We moved here from Indiana more than 20 years ago and were so grateful for a state that invested in education. The schools here were so much better than those in Indiana. It's heartbreaking to see what's happened in just 2 years. It's not just the cuts to education, but worse, the change in public opinion toward education and particularly toward teachers. Did you hear anything along those lines?
Well, not than education per se, but I mean, again, Wisconsin always had that reputation for great public schools. I think that was one of the things that people had, that talked about in Wisconsin, great public schools there. So clearly the public school landscape is changing as well. So I, you know, is this just going to be a blip in time, the swing to the right, or is this really going to be a long-term shift in Wisconsin? I think the next several years are going to be interesting. I mean, we've had Republican governors before. You know, I covered Tommy Thompson when he was governor, but I didn't see the divisiveness that we have today. And I think really, unfortunately, what's happened is that people have been feeling the pain economically. They haven't been getting raises here. They've seen people go to other states and have better opportunities, and I think that created some fertile ground for a lot of, for a lot of changes and kind of a takeover of the state house by the GOP, and those economic issues really struck a chord with a lot of people.
We are talking with Mike Ivey. He's a reporter for the Capital Times. We're talking about why people are leaving Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your reasons. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We do have a jam-packed state capitol report coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson will be in to bring us up to date on the top stories in state politics, including all the reaction that's pouring in to Governor Walker's proposed state budget, including his plans to expand voucher schools in the state and also to cut income taxes. So we will hear more about that coming up in our state capitol report after 7 o'clock. Also, we have a Monday morning wake-up call on fish fraud. That's right, seafood fraud. Some of the fish that you buy in restaurants and supermarkets is not what it claims to be. We'll find out about that at 6:50. So when you hear that there's a winter storm watch and that we could get anywhere from 4 to 7 inches of snow, does that make you want to move out of Wisconsin? Or is winter in Wisconsin one of the reasons you're here? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 6:37 on this Monday, February 25th. We're talking about a survey that says Wisconsin ranks 10th in the nation for people moving out. Some people blame the weather, some the economy, some politics. We are talking with a Madison business reporter about why some residents are unhappy with Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your thoughts on whether you're considering leaving the state or if you're planning on staying put and why. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mike Ivey. He's a reporter for the Capital Times. He covers business, the environment, and politics. His recent piece, Why Are People Leaving Wisconsin?, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And let's take another call. Jason in Whitewater. I'm sorry, not Whitewater. Watertown is with us. Hi, Jason.
How are you doing?
Good. Are you leaving, coming or going?
I just came back this year. After I graduated college, I was gone in out to Arkansas and then Maryland last year. Came back. Love Wisconsin. Wisconsin's my home, but I actually have a bit of a unique situation. I work in North Dakota out in the oil fields, but I still live in Wisconsin. I have a 3 week on, 3 week off rotation.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I work out there and live for 3 weeks and then come back to Wisconsin, but I'm still a Wisconsin resident. Still pay Wisconsin income tax. I love Wisconsin. Like you're saying about the snow, I love the snow. I love our landscape, our lakes. I'm an avid fisherman, hunter. I love it here. We have professional sports. I mean, Wisconsin's a great way to live. You know, I mean, you can be within, you know, 25 minutes, you can be in a major city like Madison or Milwaukee or be out in the woods hunting.
Wow, Jason, I've never quite heard a story like that. But is there not a job that you want in Wisconsin that or can get in Wisconsin in your field?
Well, I actually got offered a couple jobs when I came back. I sent out some applications. And, you know, it just was, they were more entry-level stuff, and I had more, I had more school debt than I was going to make in, you know, a year and a half with some of the entry-level jobs in my field in Wisconsin. So I decided to head on out to the oil fields in North Dakota. And so I still get the kind of the best of both worlds. Still get to come back to Wisconsin every 3 weeks and kind of just do whatever I want. Time off.
I like that 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off thing, I think. But Mike Ivey, have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, I've heard about the oil boom in North Dakota for sure. That's sadly Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of we don't have a lot of oil and gas deposits here, but that's really been driving the job growth in North Dakota. North Dakota is right at the top of all the states in terms of job creation over the past 10 years.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of someone who works in North Dakota but actually lives in Wisconsin.
We've got an elastic, dynamic U.S. population, Joy. People
right.
The telecommute and live in different places. My wife works in Milwaukee. I live in Madison. We play that game. So,
all right, so our next caller is Bob in Appleton. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Joy. I am a citizen resident of Wisconsin, spending less time here because of the three climates. The weather climate drives us to Mexico, and we own a home there and spend as much winter there as we can. We're not there right now, unfortunately, but we were there for about 2.5 months. The economic climate is getting worse. I see a brain drain going on. A lot of our graduating students are leaving. We put both of our daughters through the UW system. One is here with a business. Another one is in Illinois because of the opportunities there and not here. And, of course, the political climate, things are just getting so regressively conservative that it's getting harder and harder to recognize this state and everything that made it great. So those are the reasons why we're spending less time in Wisconsin.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. What about the brain drain, Mike Ivey? Do we indeed have a brain drain?
Well, you know, that is a tough thing to measure. I know that, that Governor Doyle used to talk about the brain drain all the time, and you hear people that work in the university systems here say we do a great job educating people to move out of the state. At the same time, if you look at the attraction that we get from higher education into Wisconsin, that is phenomenal. That's been one of the biggest draws for people moving into the state has been education. So it kind of cuts both ways. That's a tough thing to measure, but I you know, from the comments I get from people, yeah, they do talk about the opportunities being better elsewhere. Just a personal note, I've got one of my best friends owns a honey business in Verona, and a small businessman has got about a dozen employees, and he's got three kids. They all went to public high school in Mount Horeb. They're all living in California now. One of them teaching school, another working IT, the other guy kind of doing some landscaping, but they have definitely left.
You know, reading some of the articles based on this survey by the moving company, I've been seeing, you know, some concern that young people are fleeing the state because there aren't the job opportunities or it's not hip enough or something. And then I also see, you know, that retirees are fleeing Wisconsin because they want the warmer weather or whatever. Do we know, is our state graying as in getting older?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've been graying for a long time. If you look at any of the demographics, people are not all the old people are leaving. A lot of them are staying here as well. But, that's been a trend in, nationally, but Wisconsin especially, because we tend to we're not reproducing as fast as a lot of states, and then we are losing some of our young people, so we end up with a lot of aging boomers left, Joy.
Yeah, we're in good company. Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hello, this is very interesting, but I'd like a little more context. So if you could answer these two questions. One, what are the other of the 10 top out-migration states?
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe about 5 more of the leading in-migration states.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We went through them earlier, but the number one state for people leaving is New Jersey. And then the other in the top 10, Number two is Illinois. Number three is West Virginia. Then you've got New York, New Mexico. Surprisingly, there's a warm weather place. Michigan, Connecticut, Maine, and Kentucky. Wisconsin's number 10. Number one destination, and some of your callers may get a chuckle out of this, but it's Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Their economy has been growing. I mean, a lot of government jobs there, and they've got a pretty thriving high-tech scene going on there. Number two, Oregon. And maybe this is something Wisconsin wants to think about, but Oregon has been attracting both older and younger people, and it's got a thriving new economy and sort of mixes high-tech with some traditional forestry and agriculture, and they've got cutting-edge urban planning, great scenic beauty, strong public school system. So they're number two.
And a few more of the in migration states?
I knew you were going to ask.
Oh, sorry about that.
Those are the only two I had in my survey, but I think I'll have to dig those up here.
Yeah, I can take a look too. But I was interested in Oregon too, because a lot of people. It's not exactly a warm weather state. It maybe doesn't have the brutal winters we do, but it's certainly not all sunshine there. Let's go to a Facebook comment from Cheryl. I have lived 2 miles south of the Wisconsin border most of my life near Galena, Illinois. I wish the border was south of our house because Wisconsin is a much nicer state than Illinois, which is a mess, as everyone knows. My sister lives by Wautoma and loves it. Wisconsin is so beautiful and should be appreciated. All right. Well, thank you very much, Cheryl, for that. I wonder if that's a case of the grass is always greener, or maybe it is green.
Well,
I think
Wisconsin's pretty beautiful.
Yeah,
you talked
sure
about
is.
Bicycling earlier. I just got back from skiing the American Birkebeiner cross-country ski race in northern Wisconsin.
Ooh.
And just a phenomenal event if you've never been up there and seen it. And
how'd you do?
Well, I made it, Joy. It was my 25th Birkie. It was a tough day. The snow, there was new snow that had fallen, and it was a real grinder. But that is a huge draw. That draws people from 48 states, 21 countries. We've got a phenomenal outdoor scene here. We've got some of the best deer hunting anywhere in the world. Fishing's great. So those are all reasons people stay. And frankly, I think historically, maybe you said, okay, I could make more money if I lived in Chicago or worked in Minneapolis. But I like the atmosphere in Wisconsin. I like being able to, like your earlier caller said, be 20 minutes from going to a trout stream. I mean, it's a real draw for a lot of people.
And by the way, I have the top five inbound or in migration. It was D.C., Oregon, Nevada, of all things, North Carolina and South Carolina were the top
Well, warm five. Weather places. Nevada, they took a real beating in the housing bust, but their economy has been pretty strong. They've got a new economy thing going on there. And again, there's another no-income tax state, which certainly draws in people.
Matthew tweets, if Wisconsin had an in-migration welcome quilt, it would need patches of jobs, education, taxes, communities, and social acceptance. So I guess that's his proposal to make Wisconsin an in-migration state. And any thoughts on whether our policymakers are trying to do things to make Wisconsin in?
I think Governor Walker's certainly been trying to do that on the economic front. If you know the open for business signs and the thoughts that if we can cut taxes, we'll attract more business here. Unfortunately, I mean, everything I've ever seen on business and taxes is sure, taxes are somewhere, but they're on the margin. They're not the main reason that companies move one place to the other. Minnesota's got higher taxes than Wisconsin, and they have been doing quite a bit better on the jobs and economy front. They've got a thriving metropolitan area, some big companies there, medical equipment, some high-tech stuff, but you know, Wisconsin's got some of that too. I talked to some people for the story who work in the high-tech industry here in Madison. They love Madison in terms of growing a new economy business low cost of doing business here, tremendous talent coming out of the University of Wisconsin. Milwaukee's got a new economy thing going there. But, you know, in a lot of ways, we're sort of a, you know, we're a declining Rust Belt state. It's not a unique story. Look at the, you know, parts of Michigan and upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
They've struggled. Ohio, all across the Rust Belt. There's a reason they call it the Rust Belt.
Yeah.
I think you just have to play up your strengths, and in Wisconsin, that's been our, you know, clean environment, clean government, good schools. Those are the things
yeah.
that have made Wisconsin strong. I'd put that on the Welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's. I guess we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot, Mike, for being with us.
Thanks, Joyce.
Mike Ivey, reporter for the Capital Times. He covers business, the environment, and politics. And his piece on Why Are People Leaving Wisconsin is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be foggy this morning. There is a possibility of some patchy freezing drizzle as well. Chance of snow this afternoon. Highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. We do have a winter storm watch in place for the southeastern quadrant of Wisconsin starting tomorrow into Wednesday. A possibility of anywhere between 4 and 7 inches of snow possible. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, 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 I haven't heard that in a while. It's time for our Monday morning wake-up call. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is about 8 minutes before 7 o'clock. A new study reports that as much as one-third of the nation's seafood supply sold in restaurants and supermarkets is mislabeled. We will find out which types of fish are commonly mislabeled and why, and what can be done about it. Our guest is Kimberly Warner, senior scientist at Oceana and the lead author on Oceana's study of seafood fraud. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's happening here? Why are we having so much seafood fraud?
Well, I think part of the reason, and one that Oceana is trying to tackle, is that we don't really know where along a very murky seafood supply chain the fraud is occurring. We just sampled at the retail level, but we don't know if it happened at the wholesale level, at the boat, during processing, you know, where this occurred. So
mm-hmm.
we're trying to get a traceability system for all of our seafood so that we can track fish from boat to plate and make sure that it's the same label that the fish had when it was caught, follows it through the supply chain, and ends up being the one that you see on the label when you purchase your fish.
So what are some of the most commonly mislabeled types of fish?
Well, the most commonly we found in our study were things labeled snapper and white tuna. So 87% of the snapper was mislabeled. And when we got down to specific types of snapper, it was 93% of the red snapper. We sampled red snapper across the entire U.S., and took 120 samples and only found 7 of them that were the real red snapper.
Oh, my gosh.
That was really shocking to me.
Yeah. Well, you know what shocked me, too, is the tuna. Wasn't it like 60% of the tuna we buy is not tuna?
Right. It's close to that. Well, this was specifically the white tuna. And most of this was purchased in sushi bars. And what we found was that 84% of what they were selling as white tuna was actually escalar, which is a snake mackerel. It's not a tuna at all. And it carries a natural toxin that can cause you severe gastrointestinal effects. They call it the Ex-lax fish for a reason. So, you know, these kinds of substitutions that we were finding can pose some potentially serious health concerns if the consumer's not aware of what they're eating.
Yeah, so what's your advice to those of us who are in the mood for some red snapper next time we're at a restaurant or tuna at the sushi bar?
I'd say that you need to really speak with the people that's serving your fish or selling you your fish. Ask more questions about what you're being served. Tell them you want to know where it is, you know, what kind of fish it is, where it was caught, you know, where it was from. Are they sure? If we don't tell the people that are selling our fish that we care about what we're eating, I'm afraid, you know, some of this is going to continue to occur. Certainly we need stepped-up enforcement inspection efforts. But I think when you're purchasing seafood in the meantime, you know, if the price is too good to be true, you know, chances are you might not be getting what you were expecting you're getting. Some of the fish that we sampled were not as fraudulently labeled.
What are some of the, the honest ones?
Well, interestingly, our most frequently collected fish were salmon, and wild salmon had been found to be swapped out with the farmed salmon in previous studies. We found most of the salmon that we purchased in grocery stores had a low level of mislabeling, only 5% of that, whereas in restaurants, about 20%. So it was a really good year for sockeye salmon in particular in 2012, and so a lot of this was available at a better price than when it's, you know, a more rare in supply. So that was a good choice.
Yeah, and I think I read that when it comes to tuna, if it's the canned tuna that you're buying, then you most likely are getting real white tuna there.
If it's labeled white tuna, that's the only tuna that has to tell you what kind it is. That's albacore tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else in canned tuna, it could be any one of the many species of tuna that vary a lot in mercury levels and that type of thing.
I'm assuming that this is happening in part because you're substituting a cheaper fish for a more expensive fish.
We suspect that's the primary motivation. Certainly, most of the top fish that we found mislabeled are some of the higher-priced fish. We did about 5% of our 1,200 samples were farmed and cheaper fish that some of our supporters sent us to test, and those were all honestly labeled. So I think there's a lot of money to be made in seafood fraud. We spend over $80 billion on seafood as a country. So slipping in illegally caught fish and fraudulent fish in a very murky supply chain is probably easier than it should be.
Yeah. Does the rate of mislabeling change depending on where you live in the country?
Well, we did find differences. We sampled over 14 different metropolitan areas and found like Southern California was particularly bad in terms of high rates of seafood mislabeling, while the Pacific Northwest had some of their lowest rates. And
mm-hmm.
That may be, you know, people have higher awareness of the seafood. They're closer to the source, or they're, you know, more clued in about what they're eating.
Yeah. And in our final minute, you touched on it, but how do you propose this be fixed?
Well, we're trying to get good seafood traceability legislation passed through Congress. We had a bill last year that had bipartisan support, but didn't make it, you know, to law. So we really think that if we have a good tracking system on our seafood supply chain, that we can really crack down on this problem.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kimberly Warner, senior scientist at Oceana and lead author on Oceana's study of seafood fraud. And you can get more details on this study and what fish were commonly mislabeled and the like on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks very much to Cynthia Schuster and Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.